Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. The message today is our love to God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Chapter 7, look at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, one more. Look at chapter 11. This is just to introduce the subject of our love for God. Verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge. Why? The reason is the verse just before it, 10:22. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 souls, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give the rain of your land in its season, the former rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy grain, and thy new wine, and thine oil. And I will give grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and thou shalt eat, and be full. Now, look at verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all this commandment, which I command you, to do it, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the hinder sea, shall be your border. There shall be no man able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath spoken unto you. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the things that are written in your word. We rejoice, our God, for the preciousness of this book. Thou dost know that its value does not change. It does not increase or decrease, but only in our appreciation of it. We are thankful that as you are always the same, yet you are a very present help in trouble. And when afflictions come upon men, then they call upon thee. We are glad, our Father, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We change, but you change not. But our ability to appreciate thee and call upon thee, those things increase. So, from what we have read today, we ask that we shall learn of your fullness, avail ourselves of your fullness, and obey you with the fullness that you require of us. Cleanse us from our sins. We confess them. You promise to be faithful and just to do that. Be faithful to do that, our God. And prepare hearts and empower lips and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. What I've read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 has already been expounded by our Lord when he was asked the question, what is the first and great commandment? And our Lord, just as a computer can go through all the information available and come up with solution. So our Savior was asked, what is the first commandment? What is the great commandment? And our Savior, knowing all the commandments, and it says in Hosea, God speaks about the 10,000 things that are in my law. The Lord Jesus runs through all of those, and he says, the first commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I have had the joy in the past weeks to consider the references about love as they're found in the book of Deuteronomy. Few people would think of looking for references to love in the book of Deuteronomy, but it's full of love. You'll find that there are no less than 10 references to this love as to how God loves us. And in the portions that we have read, I only read a few of them, there are 12 references of our responsibility to return the love that God first bestowed upon us. If I said, give me 5 of those 12 references, could you do it? And yet there are 12 references talking about our love to God. So it's not just that the Lord Jesus quoted one of those references, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and that was all. But this is reinforced 11 other times explaining how we should love God, why we should love God, and the rewards that are ours if we love God. All of these things are contained in the book of Deuteronomy, and I could have told you all of them if it weren't so cold. But I'm sure that you shall want me to give you an abbreviated exposition of them, but I'm going to give you enough so that you can, if you choose, look up the rest. And I think I will just give you quickly the places that they're found. Our love to God is found in chapter 5, in chapter 6, in chapter 7, in chapter 10, 3 times in 11, 1 time in chapter 13, 1 time in chapter 19, and 3 times in chapter 30. All of those references have to do with our loving God. 10 times it speaks of God's loving us. But then it comes to the exhortations of our loving God. It also speaks about the responsibility of our loving one another. So in Deuteronomy, this is the joy of the book. It tells of God's love to us, of our love to God, and then the love that we should have one to another. And I can only tell you this morning about the love that we are supposed to have before God. So the Savior went through all of the commandments enjoined upon us, and he came to this conclusion, the greatest commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God. If you look carefully, you will discover that this commandment is not given to the world. The world thinks that they are to love God with all their being, but what it says is this. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So it is not speaking to the world, but it is speaking to those whom God has redeemed out of the world. It says concerning the world, God commanded men everywhere to repent. But once men repent, then the responsibility is laid upon them to love God. And that is why I started out the messages about love in Deuteronomy with God's love for us. Because of necessity, it must be that way. In 1 John 4, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Who can tell me any man who first loved God and God was so impressed with that love that he decided to love man? You can't tell me that, isn't it? That's why it says, we love him. And that is why it says, hear, O Israel. He is talking now to a nation that has been redeemed by blood out of the land of Egypt. And figuratively, they represent the people of God. And now, as God's people, he says, I have loved you. And he says, now I want you to love me. The first question is this. I am to love you. Yes. The marvel is that God would want us to love him at all. Think of yourself. Do you feel worthy to be one who loves God? I'm thinking of this. I think of John, the beloved apostle. If the Savior were here, would you feel free to go up and place your head upon his bosom? If so, you are more intimate with the Lord than I am. It is my privilege. He loves me that much. But the point is this. We seldom feel as if we are worthy. We are like that lost son in the far country. He said, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Let me be as one of your hired servants. Now, if the Savior would let me come and wash his feet and wipe his feet, I would say, fine, that's the way I'll show you my love. But the Lord says, you can show me your love by placing your head upon my bosom. I want your love. Some people are unaware of that. You heard of that woman who in the city had been a sinner. And in the house of Simon the Pharisee, she came and she was doing what I would feel free to do. And Simon did not even give her the privilege to worship at the feet of our Savior. But the Savior said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And then he spoke of what that woman was. And then he spoke of the love of that woman for him. Now that is beautiful. If you love the Lord so much that you would wash his feet with your tears and wipe them with the hair of your head, then evidently you understand about how much God has loved you. So the first thing is that God wants our love, and he will accept our love. Simon would have driven the woman away. And because of what you've done in the past, and because of what you are now and your failures, you say, Lord, you don't want my love. But here is this woman who in the city had been a sinner, and now she's worshiping God, the Son, as it says in Deuteronomy 6 that she should worship and love. And Simon would run her off, but the Lord Jesus accepts that love. And so you say, well, he accepts it. Not only does he accept it, he says, I demand that love. So how much are we to love God? We are to love him with the entirety of our being. Think of this now. That it's not given in its fullness here. It just mentions three things. It says, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your might. And then in the New Testament, at times that is expanded because it's like love. You understand that it says of love in 1 Corinthians 13 that love believes all things and hopes all things. And you can take up faith and hope and love, or you can take up love that is inclusive of all of those things. So when it says you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might, the heart and the soul are within. The might is that with which we manifest the love that comes from within. And so if you are to love God with all you are inwardly and outwardly, how much of your being is not to love God? If you're to love him with all you have inside and outside, then you're to love him with all your being. So this is what it breaks down to. We're to love the Lord thy God with all of our faculties. That is, with your heart, your soul, your might. So think of your faculties. We have all of our senses, the sense of smell and touch and taste, all the five senses. So we're to love God with all of our faculties, and we're to love God with all those faculties, and we're to love God always. All my faculties, with all of that faculty, always. So you say, well, there is nothing left of me that is not to love God. That's true. But here is what was humorous to me when I read it in the scripture. A young man came to the Lord and he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, why, keep the commandments. And he said, which? Isn't that good? You see? Which? And so God gives commandments, and so you look him over and say, now which of these commandments am I to keep? Really, he said, of what sort? But you have to keep them all. That's what's so interesting. Man so often says that. God says, I want you to love me with all your being. Well, how much? With all your being. I remember that when the lawyer came and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Savior said, you tell me. And he said, why, you're to love the Lord your God with all your being, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord said, that is right. You do that and you'll live. And he said, but who is my neighbor? You see, he wanted to exclude. Which commandment am I to keep? Why, all of them. Who is my neighbor? We would narrow it down. How many commandments can I get by without keeping? And how many people can I exclude from loving as myself? But the commandment to God is this, that we are to love him with all we are, within and without, all of our faculties, and with all of that faculty, always. Now do you see why it's the first and great commandment? Because the Savior said everything else hangs on this. Our responsibility, Godward, love him with all our being. Our responsibility, manward, to love your neighbor as yourself. You say, well, which will produce more love, to love God with all my being or to love my neighbor as myself? I assure you, if I love you the way I love myself, you'll have more love than you can deal with. So that is what God wants us to understand. So practical. I might not understand about loving God with all my being. Well, what about loving yourself, living for yourself, looking out for yourself? Well, I know all about that. Well, just transfer that to your neighbor, and God says, those are the commandments. The first, responsibility Godward. The second, responsibility manward. And all you have to do to get to heaven is to keep those commandments, and you'll get there. Now, who has ever kept them? Nobody. And so for that reason, we are cast back upon the grace of God. But having experienced the grace of God, then by his enabling, we are to love the Lord our God, and then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Not to merit salvation, but because God, as a free gift, has bestowed upon us his salvation. And what shall I render unto the Lord? I am to render unto the Lord all my being. And at the same time, I am to love my neighbor as myself. And we would say, O God, have mercy upon thy servant. We have miserably failed. Come not into judgment with thy servant. For who is able to stand? Who is upright? Who is righteous in thy sight, O Lord? But because we recognize this and we have failed, it does not mean that we are not to attempt to do what God tells us. So, the commandment is perfection. Do you believe in sinless perfection? I do. I haven't attained it yet. You might not have recognized it, but I have not attained it yet. But it's that you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why, that is perfection. We never attain it in this life. I'm so glad that when our Savior comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And until that day, we are by God's enabling to seek to become like that which we shall become when we see him as he is. So this is the responsibility that God places upon us. Now, of these 12 references, 7 of them have to do, I'm simplifying this, not giving you all the details, but 7 of them have to do with exhortations of our loving God. And concerning these and the other 5, there flows out of these commandments and obedience to these commandments the rewards that God will bestow upon us if we do love him. So, if we love God, what will he do for us? And at the same time, if we love God, how are we to prove our love to him? So what I did was to read you a little bit from chapter 11, some of the blessings that flow from loving God. It says, you are to love the Lord your God for your good. And if I think of that, the more I love God, the more it is to my good, then it will be easier for me to love God. But so often, we withhold our love, thinking that somehow we will be blessed by keeping some of our love for ourselves. But God says, everything that I command you, and he exhorts it 7 times, he says, you are to love me for your good. And I'm going to tell you the rewards that are ours if we love God. Understand that what I read you related to the nation of Israel. But even now, and here is what some Christians have failed to understand, that the commandments of the Old Testament are true in the New Testament. And I'm going to prove it by giving you one of the commandments in the Old Testament that is found in a book that even hyper-dispensationalists accept as belonging to the church. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long and you may enjoy good things upon the earth. You say, well, that's remarkable. That was something that God said to Israel, and here it's quoted to us in the book of Ephesians. And so, without any hesitation, I apply the promises of God, understand, with the limitations that are to be found in the New Testament. But you apply the promises of God with whatever restrictions there are in the New Testament, and you apply those principles to ourselves. And even though some say, it's all of grace, how many of you believe that God is going to bless you as much if you live as a Christian for the devil or if you live for God? He's going to bless me to the same degree of fullness no matter how I live. Do you believe that? Isn't that strange? And I asked that question concerning a man who was so strong on grace. And he said, why, of course not. I said, of course not, even though we can't figure it out. And the Apostle Paul lived for God and loved for God more than anyone I know. And yet he was the one that was found beaten and in prison, stoned, dragged out as dead. And so that is what I cannot explain. But I can explain that Paul said, if you love, if you obey, if applying these principles of the old to the new, if you do these things, the blessings are going to be yours. Well, I'll tell you the blessings that were specifically given to Israel if you are to love him. If you love him with all your being, what can you be assured of? It is this. He says, first of all, and I read you chapter 7 to let you understand how great is the love of God, and it's this. God said, if you love me, I will keep covenant, I will keep faith, I will show you loving kindness to thousand generations. Remember that, because it says concerning the hatred of God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, the fourth generation, but he said, showing mercy and loving kindness to thousands. That's why I read you in chapter 7, verse 9, that it can mean to thousands of generations, to a thousand generations. And I always have to laugh and have a little enjoyment of it. If you think that the love of God has run out, it says he's going to do it for a thousand generations. And a generation is some 40 years. So for 40,000 years, the Lord has promised us that his love is going to endure. And let's say that 6,000 years have gone by. So that leaves 34,000 years for him to love us. I feel safe, don't you? So God is going to love mankind for some 34,000 more years if you love him. But we're talking about a few more days before we hope the Lord might come. But in case he doesn't, then all of these generations are before. But what he's literally saying is this, my love is immeasurable. My love is limitless. Just as it says that we are to seek to know the length and breadth and height and depth to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. So you can't understand the love of Christ, and you cannot exhaust the love of God He mentions 1,000 generations to show you that they are limitless. This is what God is bringing to our attention. So if we love him, it says he will keep faith and covenant and loving kindness to 1,000 generations. So what he has promised, he is going to fulfill. The second is this. He promises agricultural blessings to the nation of Israel. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, in verse 1:13, he gives us these promises. 1:13:22. First, he gives us why we should love God with all our being. Then he gives what, if we love him with all our being, he will give agricultural blessings, and he will give military blessings. Let me tell you about the basis, first of all. It says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Why? It says, because he took your fathers, and he brought them down into Egypt, and there were only 70 of them. And he said, and now, look at you. You are as the stars of heaven. He says, for that reason, you are to love the Lord your God. All right. It's simply 1 John chapter 4 again. We love him because he first loved us. We were slaves. Our fathers were few. They became slaves. He delivered them from their slavery. Now, he's preserved you, and you're free, and you're headed to the promised land. Therefore, you are to love the Lord your God. So the basis of all of these exhortations is that I've loved you first. Now, I expect your love in return. And he said, if you do love me, when you get to the promised land, he said, I will send rain. I will send the early rain, the latter rain, in its season. And you will have grain and new wine and oil. And I will cause grass to grow so that your cattle will have food to eat. And you shall eat and be full. Now there are some who have everything. And they eat and they are empty. And they have everything and their lives are empty. But God says, I'll do all of these things for you. And you shall eat and be full. And so that's satisfaction, that's realization. And God says, love me, and that's what I promise you. And then militarily, God says, if you love me, he said, I will dispossess all of your enemies, and I will put the fear of them upon you. And one of you shall chase 1,000, and two of you shall chase 10,000. He said, now you love me, and I will make them fear you. This is what is so remarkable, God's ability to control the minds of men. When Jacob and his sons had done harm to his neighbors, Jacob said, you have done this and they're going to hate me and they're going to come out and destroy me. But it says that God put the fear of Jacob and his little band upon all of those people and they could have destroyed him in a moment. But God put the fear of them in their hearts. And God said, that's what I will do for you. God, when the entire army of the enemies of Israel came together, over 185,000. God sent an angel and destroyed them, and he also put in their minds that their enemies were coming, and they rose up and started fighting one another. And God says, militarily, this is what I'll do for you. You say, how much that promise is needed today? Why, of course it is. And God says, I will do that for you. So, he will bless them agriculturally, he will bless them militarily, and I did not read this, but he said, I will bless you geographically. So many injustices are perpetrated in the land today, and these injustices at times are gotten by with. But at times, innocent men suffer because of injustices done to them. But the Lord said, if you love me, I've given you a few cities of refuge, but I will give you more cities of refuge. That the man that is innocent, just as if we went in the woods and we were chopping down trees and the head of my axe flew off and killed you, then I shed innocent blood. I was innocent in shedding blood. And God said, flee to a city of refuge. God said, I've given you 3 cities of refuge, and if you love me, I will give you 3 more cities of refuge. Why? So that the innocent man who slew his brother unintentionally, that he shall be able to get to a place of safety, and innocent blood shall not be shed. Do you understand that God can bless us socially? He can expand the justice that prevails in a land if we love Him. You say, well, that is remarkable. And this is what is most remarkable. God says in His Word, draw me, and we will run after thee. You'll find, and I can't go into detail, but in Deuteronomy chapter 30, you have the children of Israel departed from God, scattered to all the nations. But then they think, as that lost son did, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare? And I'm starving to death here. I will arise and go to my father. So he did that. And it says in Deuteronomy 30, he said, if you repent and if you come back to me, he said, I will do this for you. He said, I will circumcise your heart that you are able to love me with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And that is what I want. Because we hold back from God. We give God a little. And if we do, as that man who wanted his demoniac son cured, he said, Lord, I believe, help thy mind unbelief. And so, oh God, we have repented. We've turned somewhat. Help thou in the areas in which I have not returned. And God says, if you come back to me, he says, then I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children, and you'll be able to love me as you want to. And that's what I want, because you don't love God the way you should, and I don't love God the way I should, and we should love him more. And God says, I will work upon your heart, and I will enable you to love me more. You say, that is what I want. And I will tell you this, that those who say they love God, he's going to put them to the test. It's this way. In Deuteronomy 13, I wish I could tell you all things associated with it. I will only tell you this, that God says, at times, I'm going to test your love. He said, so many prophets are false prophets. He said, but at times, I'm going to send a false prophet to you, and I'm going to empower that prophet to perform miracles. And after he performs that miracle, see what he says to you next. And if he says, let us go and serve other gods, God said, I'm putting you to the test to see if you're going to love me and obey the commandments that I have given you. And that's what's happened in the world today. Perhaps God has permitted some of these false teachers to, in reality, do marvelous things. And then they would lead you astray doctrinally. They would take you away from this precious word. And God says, I'm going to see if you love me enough to keep my commandments, no matter what men of power are able to set before you. And so this love is put to the test. So these are some of the things that God expects. How much are we to love him? With all our heart and soul and mind and strength, this is the first and great commandment. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that you first loved us, and then, in turn, you would not keep us at a distance as slaves, not as Absalom, who was permitted to come back but was kept in a distant city, but our God, we are permitted to come back and to bestow all of the love that we have upon you, and you would accept that love. And how many and varied and great and enduring are the promises that you shall bestow upon us. We rejoice in this, our God. So we pray that you shall know something of our love. And most of all, we pray that we shall know something of thy love and enter into the promises that you can bestow upon us. Let us, in the fullest sense, eat and be full. Let us be those who love you, our God, with all our being. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.